We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1. I'm Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. Episode 36. And, geez, I think, well, I've done this. I haven't missed a week. So I believe probably in May we will be hitting number 52, hopefully. Fingers crossed. Never know in this business. That's for sure. Isn't that right, Craig?
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah, that is Craig Collins, who is, you know, the irony is, I just talked about, this is my 36th episode, and now my third producer.
Yeah, well, you know, we're recycling pretty quickly over here.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick for a little while, I
Well,
hope.
Hopefully.
You never know.
Yeah, my God. Hey, I don't even know, so believe me, yeah. So, Craig, who, if you listened to me in a previous life on WGN Radio, Craig was our producer for about a year and a half, almost 2 years. And then the funny thing was, for a weird time, if you remember the timeline on that, for a weird time, for maybe like a month or so, we had two producers. There was like a transition. Craig was leaving and Keith was coming in, and so they were both kind of sitting there at the same time looking over each other's shoulders. And so then one day I said, well, why don't we just call them Creef?
Because I was happy it was Creef because I got to be at the front.
Right. You were first.
Right.
I mean, hey, right. I believe in seniority. Mm-hmm. So, there we go. So anyway, so that is the story there. So you will be hearing Craig's voice every so often popping in to the show. And so far we've had Mike Heidemann, Kristen Decker, and now Craig Collins, and so I'm not...
Everybody wants the show. Everybody, we're all fighting over it.
Jim. Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
That's how it's going.
That's why last week we didn't even know who was producing. That's how much everybody's fighting for it. No one showed up, so Craig just did it. That's how much people care. But I'm glad you guys care out there, and I really do appreciate some of the kind words. In fact, I just went to... My cousin is a teacher at a grammar school in Berwyn, and I went to visit her and to have lunch. And lo and behold, who knew that this one school in Berwyn was a hotbed for Elton Jim fans? Three teachers were big fans, and they weren't BSing. They weren't just trying to get on my cousin's good side. She brought me around, and they all, you've got your brooch on, and how come you don't turn the heat on when it's cold? And they knew every little picadillo that I have talked about here on the radio. So thank you for people who have seeked out the podcast to get your weekly dose every Monday of Elton Jim here at WGNplus.com. So I was looking at the newspaper a few months ago, actually, about a month and a half or so ago. And I am a huge, and to some people this may not even matter. Who cares? Especially in today's world, a lot of millennials don't even own cars. Does Craig own a car?
I do, yeah.
Oh, you have a car?
I own a very fancy car. It is a 2000 Toyota Camry.
There you go, but you have a car.
I do.
All right, well, that's actually, do you have a lot of friends who have cars or no?
No, I don't.
Right.
Well, because everybody lives in the city.
Right,
still.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah, so most millennials seem to, you know, be living closer to where the action is, where the, you know, everybody's a foodie. Everybody's a craft beer fan. Got to be close to your craft beer and your food. So, you know, the millennials don't really have cars all that often. But those of us who enjoy actually having some privacy in their own little travel space and have a car, to me, this has always been a big deal. And here it is. Illinois will be getting new license plates this year. Now, I haven't seen any yet because I assume now as the year progresses, people's plates will begin to expire and they will start to send out the new ones. So I haven't seen any on the street yet. But apparently in 2017, we will be getting new license plates. And the Tribune architectural critic, Blair Kamen, wrote a story about this back in November, since he obviously cares about what things look like in the public space. And whether you know, you never think about that, but license plates are everywhere. I mean, we see them everywhere. And I'm one of those folks, I care about license plates because I have had vanity plates on my cars. I was just thinking about this now, since 1984. Were you born?
No, I was born.
You were not born?
Later. Yeah.
You were not born?
No.
What year were you born?
85.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So in 84, no, I was
so
not
my, my first. So in other words, wait a minute, because I brought them with me today. So I can take a picture.
They're very nice.
I've got, here you go. So I've got two, I've had two sets of vanity plates, and then the third one is on my car now. And I've had those for at least 20 some years. But 1984. And in fact, as you can see right here, it says there's room for the 83, 85 sticker and the 84, 86 sticker. So maybe the stickers were good for 2 years at that time. I don't know. Wow. Interesting. So I've always loved, I'm a pop culture fan here. And so I've always wanted to, to have vanity plates. And when I first got my first car, I mean, I didn't have them. I could barely, afford the car. But as time went on, I got my second car, and I'm like, okay, the first car was kind of a junker. So to have vanity plates on it really wouldn't have been impressive anyway. But the second one was a little better car. And so I'm like, I'm getting vanity plates. So this was 1984. And, of course, in 1984, Bruce Springsteen, I've been a Bruce Springsteen fan for years, but 1984 is when he really became a phenomenon with his Born in the USA album. And so that album came out, and it was a huge hit. And so, I didn't want to just have something that everybody else had. I wanted to show my Springsteen stripes. But I didn't, and you're from New Jersey, right?
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, I remember you saying that. So I was like, what can I get? So, everybody, and I'd seen on the road in many times, like BT Run, BRN,
sure.
Two, or Born, BRN with a Two Run, and things like that. And I'm like, well, I just don't want to have a normal one. So, or a cliched one. So the Born in the USA album comes out. And plus, in Illinois, you are allowed 7 letters for your vanity plate. No more than 7. And so I was like, gosh, what can I come up with? And so I'm looking at different song titles, and people would have Bruce S and all that stuff. I don't want that. I want something that if you're a Springsteen fan, you will know. So this isn't just going to be, as I said, when things are popular, I don't like them. I run away from popular things. I'm into stuff before it gets popular, and then when it gets popular, I run away from it. So you will never see, when they're in the middle of a fad, I will not be there. Thus, I don't have a beard. So I'm like, well, what can I do? So I'm going over the albums. I'm trying to figure out things that with 7 letters that'll work. And lo and behold, even though it's not my favorite song of Bruce Springsteen's, it ultimately was released as a single, though, so it did get played on the radio quite a bit in 84. I'm looking around to say, well, what can I do with the different combinations of letters or numbers and things like that? And lo and behold, on Born in the USA, there is a song called Cover Me. And it's 7 letters. And I'm like, okay, if you just bought this album, you know this song because everybody... like I said, the album was huge. Everybody was just blaring out of cars in 84. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to get Cover Me. And so I had Cover Me for about 6 years. And then I was like, well, and I did used to get a lot of people, oh, is that Springsteen? Yes, it's Springsteen. And then some people had no idea what it was. Some people thought it was referring to Police. You know what I mean? Like Cover Me.
Right.
With a gun.
Yeah.
But the people that knew it, I used to get little honks and stuff like that. And so I had Cover Me for about 6 years until this TV show came out in 1990. And I just love this TV show. And we're going to talk about this show. There's a little tie-in to this. and we're going to talk about the show Twin Peaks. And I just fell in love with the show Twin Peaks. It's hard today, and like I said, we'll talk about this later in the show with Emily Arminetti in the Pop Culture Club segment, because it's hard to if you watch Twin Peaks today, and someone, especially of your age, Craig, you'll say, well, what's the big deal? I don't know if you say that or not. I don't know if you've ever watched the show or not.
I've seen it, yeah.
But, you know, the thing is that this show was so different than anything that was on television at the time, when you think that this is when Saved by the Bell was on TV. Okay? So Saved by the Bell is on TV, and here comes Twin Peaks. That's the type of television that was on. And Twin Peaks comes and blows everybody's mind away in the storytelling, in the musical background, in the visuals, in the characters. Every aspect of the show was so different from what was on television, and mainly because David Lynch was a film director. He was not a television director. So we'll get into this deeper. But so when I fell hook, line, and sink. I'll never forget the first time I saw Twin Peaks. I read about it. I was a big David Lynch fan and loved Blue Velvet, and Eraserhead was his first movie. And so I videotaped it, thank God. I wasn't at home when it was on, but I videotaped it because I knew I wasn't going to be home and in case I wanted to watch it again. When I was at somebody else's house and I watched it, and I was so blown away. When I came home, I watched it twice in a row to say, okay, what did I just see? And so I was taken, and I wasn't the only one. Twin Peaks was a huge phenomenon for about 2 years. And there were fan clubs and trading cards and books and you name it. And I have to go dig down into my bins of garbage, not garbage, but my pop culture bins, because I have to dig out. I was a member of the fan club. I've got all these newsletters. I've got, like I said, these trading cards. I wrote a few stories. I was writing for magazines at the time. I actually interviewed one of the co-creators of it, which is very cool. So, of course, I said, you know what? This Cover Me thing, it was good for the moment, but, it's not one of Bruce Springsteen's greatest hits. And now at this point, it's 6 years later, nobody even remembers Born in the USA. So maybe, and I am so taken with Twin Peaks. So I, once again, figure I need seven letters. How do I display my devotion to this great show on my car? And so sure enough, I think of seven letters, and I go, Twin Space PKS. And there it is, Craig.
That is impressive.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
This one is really cool. I mean, and it said it all. And I'm going to, this is in nice condition.
I wonder
too.
How many people, Amy Guth had to take a picture of that.
Yeah,
when
so
you were transitioning
as
studios.
Soon as we came out of, you know, Amy records a show every week here before I do. And somehow we were talking about this, and she said she was a big fan, and I showed her my license plate. And oh my God, she took a picture of it.
Right.
And we were definitely bonding on Twin Peaks. We were trying to outdo each other as to who has more Twin Peaks stuff.
When you were driving around, did Twin Peaks fans stop
Take
a photo with your car?
No. Well, you know what? What's so funny, once again, is think about it. This is 25, 27 years ago now.
Right.
No one had, you know, cameras were not, I'm sure in today's world.
They would do that.
But, you know, people didn't have cameras handy 25
years ago. There were no
selfies. There was no such thing as a selfie. There was no such thing as, can I take a picture? No, I mean, I know that's hard for a lot of people to understand.
It's confusing.
We did not have cameras with us.
You said you taped the show. I didn't understand how Netflix would have it the next day, so I don't know what you were doing.
So I had Twin Peaks, and it was, once this show hit, I was like, that's it. So I did have it on. It was on for 2 years, and unfortunately, it got canceled. It really crashed and burned. As I said, we'll talk about that a little more about the show itself. So I didn't have these for very long. In fact, as you could see, I still have my sticker on this one, and so I did have it at least in '93.
Yep.
because this sticker expires in August of 93. So I'm not BSing you here, folks. So even this sticker is 24 years old.
Wow.
So, and now, so that means that I have had, I've probably had then my current ones for that long. And my current ones, I don't want, I mean, it's not that big of a deal, but at the same time, I mean, you know, I would rather not give it out than someone could go online. And I mean, you could probably find it out anyway, but it is Elton related. And, to your point, I do get people who honk or especially if I go to an Elton John concert, I do see people taking pictures of my license plate.
Well, you have a following at Elton John concerts in and of yourself.
Well,
don't you?
But I'm just saying, you know, I pull in and people will honk or give a high sign. And it's now the twin PKS, you know, is pretty obvious. Cover Me was Cover Me. It was spelled out that way. Now the Elton one is not as obvious, which I don't mind again as well, because if you're an Elton John fan, you will read that and you'll go, I get that. If you're not, you might not. So I would, you know, depend on how many people would, you know, I mean, if you get these, you know, if you get these vanity plates and you pay extra for them, I mean, they're called vanity plates for a reason.
Right.
You know, you want people to notice you. Once again, I have no problems with people taking selfies. I understand. I know I'm a narcissist. Believe me, I know that for years. I'm not against it. I'm just saying is I'm not really into all the selfies and stuff, but I completely understand why people do it. And so you want people to notice. It's why it's called vanity. It's a vanity plate. And so you want people to recognize you. Why want to get that honk honk or that little high five? Because, hey, I'm paying $20 extra for this.
Do you do that for other people when you see a vanity plate that you appreciate? Do you make sure?
You know, that's actually a good, you know what?
You don't, do you?
I don't do
You're
that.
You're a very selfish vanity
plate. Well, I know that too. No surprise here. You know, that's a good point.
Yeah, you're complaining so much.
Well,
but
I don't mind. Well, I have to say, I don't know if I found one that that necessarily. I always read license plates, and when I'm at a stop sign, I'm always reading plates to see what I mean, because it's in my mind, because I want people to read mine. So I get people's, and I'm always reading the vanity plates.
Sure.
And I will understand them, but I'm trying to think now if there was one that really caught my eye. Like, I have seen some that say Elton won or something like that.
But that's not creative enough for you.
No. To me, that's boring.
Right.
But at the same time, that one at least, okay, you know you're an Elton fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what did I do? Because I'm sitting there going, well, are people really understanding my license plate? These are the things that weigh on my shoulders. People are worried about mortgages and children and new presidents. And I'm wondering, when people are reading my license plate, are they understanding it?
You could get some bumper stickers
to
explain it.
Well,
okay, you have.
That's where story's going, my friend.
That's fine.
So what happened is I said, I think I need to be a little more, because as I said, it's not spelled out perfectly. It's kind of like a Prince song. You have to decipher it a little. You know, I would die for you. You know, Prince was way ahead of the texting world, if you think about it. Many of his songs had letters and
saving
numbers.
Saving space all over the
place.
Yeah,
he was way ahead of the in texting. But anyway, so I said, you know, I want people to know, because some people would say, oh, is that about, well, what is that? And I was like, ugh. So I went online and I found they have license plate, like, you know, when you buy a new car, they give you the license plate holder that goes around it and it says, you know, Tom's Chevrolet. Well, okay, that's off my car. Say, I'm not promoting your car, especially you're not going to ruin my license plate. Because if people are reading Tom's Chevrolet, they're not reading my plate. Once again, I paid $30 extra for this. Read the damn thing. So I went and I ordered special plate covers.
Okay.
That say Elton John on the top, and then they spell out what my license plate is supposed to be on the bottom one. So on the top it says Elton John. On the bottom it says what this is supposed to be.
Now, wait a minute, though. That print is not very large for the surrounding of the plate.
Well, no, but I think you can read it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you can read it.
Do you got to get pretty close? Do you have
No, I think, well, that's a good point. I mean, I don't know, because I've never been behind my car.
I am curious now if people can even read it.
And here's the thing. The reason why I got it was I would be at a stop, and now, and I actually, I'm thinking about, I have to get another set, because the reason I got this was I'd be at stop signs, or say at a stoplight, especially downtown here. And people would be crossing. Say I'm the first one at the stoplight. So people are crossing. And they would cross. And people, you know, when they're walking by themselves especially, their eyes are just kind of roaming. And I would see them. And I would see them look at my plate. And I would notice that I could tell that they didn't get it. Like, what's that? So that bugged me.
So then you point down lower.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, it's blank.
Right.
You know, so I'm like, I obviously... the unwashed masses. I have to hold your hand. And so I got one from the front and the back.
Right.
Because there's people in the back, obviously you can see it, but people in the front I would notice.
Do you think there's anyone that's still confused?
Well,
if
I don't,
they are.
Well, here's the thing. So I got that and I felt very good.
Right.
And then like a year or so after I got those, my car got hit in the front.
Oh no.
Where they had to replace the front of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And that license plate holder got demolished. So now I had to make a decision. I only have one. Do I keep it on my back or do I put it on the front?
Right.
And I'm thinking more people, I don't know why I decided this. I seem to notice people's back ones
more than their front. I think
more
I
than their fronts.
Yeah.
I'm not looking in my rearview mirror as much.
Right.
And can you even see your license plate?
No.
I don't think you can see it from your...
Not well.
You can see the people.
Certainly not the text
no.
below the plate.
Right. So I'm like, I think more people will see it if I put it in my back one. So I have in the back one. But I have noticed now, over the last couple of years, since I had to get, you know, like the car fixed and I didn't replace the thing, I am noticing puzzled looks again.
Right.
As when people cross at the red light going, I think I get it, but I don't know what that is.
Have you ever considered a custom paint job like a NASCAR and just have
okay, I don't want to go
a
crazy
big
now.
Explanation no. on the side panel?
No.
You know?
Although I did see online they had these Elton John stickers.
Right.
Like these, like you were
like
saying.
Like his face.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm like, well, if I put that in the car.
On the front hood, maybe.
Then they would know,
yeah.
Oh, I get that.
Right.
But a lot of people, I don't even know. I mean, because this is, I mean, it's not an obscure reference. But once again, it's not, I'll tell you what it isn't. It's not, you know, Y-O-R song, you know. It's not, you know, G by yellow bar R-D.
It's a good one, though.
Yeah. But for me, I like it because it's my favorite album, the one I have. So anyway, so I am thinking now of going and getting a new set of these license holders for my last ones. And the good thing was, as I was reading this story, this was from back in November, we've had our current plates, which has that kind of script Illinois at the top, and then the red letters, and then the kind of the Abe Lincoln is kind of faded in the background behind the numbers, which is I like because it's kind of subtle, and you know it's the land of Lincoln, and it says that underneath, and it's very subtle. Not crazy about... You know, it's red, white, and blue. I'm not crazy about the colors of ours, but I remember it says since 1989 we got these new ones. So I do have the old version of my current plates, and I did get it autographed by Elton.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do have that one. I have my old plate, which is my current one, but it's the old version. And once I didn't need it on my car, I kept those plates. You're supposed to send them in, but I didn't send them in. I'm like, I'm not sending these in. And so then I went to a concert one time, and he was up by the stage, and he signed it. So I do have a signed one of that thing. But so as I said, license plates are very important to me. And obviously they're important to Blair Kamen. Now, I don't know if the average person notices their license plate or cares. What I have noticed when you go to different states. Now you said you were from New Jersey. Do you have to have two plates?
Yes.
Because some
places
states,
you do not.
You just need the back one.
Correct, yeah. In Indiana, you just need a back one.
Is it Indiana as well? Right. Yeah. So, because a lot of times, I remember, especially, I'm driving around, and I will see on the front, this was a couple of years ago now, but I would see people with, like, Elvis 1. You know, but it wasn't an Illinois plate. It was obviously just a memorabilia plate that they bought at Graceland or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how are they putting that? And then I would look on their back, and they're from another state. So I didn't know that in some states, you don't need two.
Right. You could save the money on vanity plates. And
yeah,
just have the
I
one
wonder
plate.
If that's even cheaper. That's a good point. So I do notice plates. No surprise here. If they have vanity plates, Elton Jim's buying one, right? So like I said, I've had them since 1984. So now that is 34 years I've had vanity plates. My dad never had them on his car. My wife does. And she's had them because I think I've had them. But she had one even when we weren't married. She had her own kind of vanity plate. So we are certainly kind of into that stuff. So I was looking at this story with interest because this does affect me. Because now my plate, I don't know when I'm going to get a new physical plate, but I would have to think that I got one right away in 99. So I wonder, I don't know what the turnover is going to be, but pretty soon my car is going to have a new plate on it. So Blair Kamen did an article about the old plate as opposed to the new plate. And I don't know if you saw this. And if you do, if you haven't, go online. I'm sure you could just put new Illinois license plate on the internet and find it. And so what's really interesting here is, once again, you know, I've lived in Chicago my whole life. I've lived in this state. But, you know, sometimes we just really are not. I mean, there are some states that have really cool license plates and really cool designs on their license plates. If you ever go to Colorado has like the mountains. Mm-hmm. It looks, and it's very subtle. Once again, it's not in your face. But if you're driving behind that, you know they're from Colorado. You don't have to even read Colorado because you see the mountains and you go, well, Colorado mountains. Illinois, of course. Now, they even admitted they did not go to a graphic artist or a designer and maybe open up a competition and say, and thank God they didn't open up to the kids in the schools because we saw the car stickers that they used to do. And, okay, I know your kids, you always put your stuff on, you know, your kids' drawings on their refrigerators, but notice that you put them on your refrigerator. No one else asks you, hey, can I have your kids' drawing to put on my refrigerator? No one asks you that. There's a reason. Most kids can't draw. And, my gosh, those stickers, they would go to the schools. And if you remember, a couple of years ago, then there was a big brouhaha because some kid drew a design that looked like a gang sign. And so everybody in Chicago was driving around with a heart with a knife through it or something. So then we had to change them all. Then they went from, you know, of course, the pendulum, you know, swings from one extreme to the other. So then they had no design, and now apparently just have numbers. So they went from, now they can have no design at all. But they wanted to, we're going to open up the competition to children in all the grammar schools. And they're going to draw. Did you ever see grammar school kids draw? So, of course, Illinois at this point now, you know, hey, on a computer, you know, the art of graphic art has completely changed. And the ability to do things on a computer. I mean, look at half of the movies you see today are produced on a computer. They're not even filmed. All those special effects, those are filmed by guys or filled in by people sitting at computers. So obviously we have an amazing capability here to come up with a really cool new license plate design. There's talented people here in Illinois. Open up a competition amongst professionals, not kids, thank you. In my day, we didn't give things to kids. Get off my lawn! So, of course, they don't go to graphic artists. I'm not sure where they went. And Blair Kamen, who wrote this article, is the architectural critic for the Tribune, was certainly not happy about that. And I don't blame him. So here's going to be a part of our cars. You know what? You know, hey, a car is not a cheap investment. It's not an investment at all because as soon as you get it, it decreases in value. So it's not an investment at all. It never will be an investment. But, you know, I mean, it's, you know, you're paying a lot of money, and we're all worried about what kind of car we get, what color we get, what kind of style we get. So I got news for you. You know, you may call me vain, but if you have a certain color car, and then you put an ugly license plate on it, it is going to change the look of it. Well, I'll tell you. I mean, our new license plate, and I don't know when we're going to start to see them. As I said, well, I wasn't crazy about our current ones that had this kind of handwritten script that said Illinois, which you really, the I was like this big calligraphy I with all these quirls and swirls. And it's like, okay, that doesn't really talk about Illinois. We're not calligraphy. Illinois is not calligraphy. But at least the overall design was kind of subtle, to the point. And like I said, I like that kind of Lincoln that was kind of a little faded back. It was the same Lincoln from the $5 bill, for the most part. Well, clearly the new license plate, this is a bureaucrat's wet dream. Because you could tell that someone sat down, they said, okay, we're going to have a new license plate. And so, well, what should we have? What does, you know, I could see it right now. They were in a room with a whiteboard, and someone said, what does Illinois mean to you? And all the hands of all these, you know, non-creative types, bureaucrats, who are now going to design our license plate, raise their hand. Well, land of Lincoln. Oh, good, Tom. What else? Well, you know, what do we have to do? What do we have to represent? Well, we're in the Midwest, and, you know, I'm sure somebody from Mantoon or Cairo raised their hand and said, well, everybody talks about Chicago, and what about us in the middle? Okay, well, why don't we have something that represents our rural side? Okay, good, Angie. But wait a minute, we still can't forget that we, you know, Chicago is the third largest city, and that puts us on the map. Good idea, Max. Well, what about, you know, let's not forget, I mean, Illinois, we can't let Chicago dominate this because, you know, this is Illinois. And, you know, so often Springfield is forgotten here. All right. Thanks, Ted. Well, we have to have Lincoln. We already said that, Tom. We're going to have, of course we have. It's the land of Lincoln. Well, what colors? Well, you know, we had red, white, and blue. Well, let's just stay with that. Why should we get out color swatches? Let's just stay with that. And then somebody probably said, wow, you know, this would have been me. I would have raised my hand and said, whoa, you know, are we going to throw this all on one plate? It's going to get kind of busy, isn't it? Kind of cluttered? And then they would have said, you know, Jim, very often they say that there are no bad ideas in a brainstorm meeting.
But we're going to have to ask you.
But that's a bad idea. You've just broken the adage. So, of course, all the politico types who are there to represent their constituencies win. And so I don't even know how big this license plate. I think we might have to get the back of our cars might have to get changed. I don't even know if we could put these with the same screws. Because this license plate has red, white, and blue, so they kept the red numbers and letters. Now, if our current ones have this kind of blue fade at the bottom. So what did they do to change things? Fade on the top. Wow. Good idea, Mary.
Yeah, really.
So it won't be different. And you know what? We'll even lighten it a few shades. Oh, thanks, Virginia. So you can see the way this thing was being put together. But on this one license plate, as I said, the current ones, red, white, and blue, little blue fade at the bottom, red letters, a very subtle land of Lincoln on the bottom, a very subtle Lincoln image in the background,
sure. Mm-hmm.
And this horrible script, Illinois, but that's it. The new ones that you will see, and we're going to have, and now we've had these last ones since 1999, so at least for 20 years, until 2037, And boy, am I going to be screaming in 2036 when I see the new one. And I don't know if Craig's going to still be my producer. Probably not.
I'll visit the show, though. I'll still visit the show.
because I've already been on for 40 minutes. And I don't know if Craig's still going to finish the show.
There are others.
Oh, wait, there's another producer waiting.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. No, Craig's only going to be doing the first half hour. Oh, okay, great. Thanks. So on this license plate, I mean, this looks like a junkyard. Illinois, land of clutter. This looks like a hoarder's license plate. There is a picture of Abraham Lincoln. Now, before, it was very subtle in the back, in the middle. It looked very similar to a $5 bill. But now, they've got this. It looks like clip art. This picture of Lincoln, I mean, I don't even know. It looks so generic. And they cut him right in half. And they put him, and it's bigger. It's black and white. This other one was very subtle. In the background, there was just like a shadow of Lincoln. Very cool. Very nice idea. This one is like, by the way, we are the land of Lincoln, and here is a full black and white picture of him. It goes from the top of the license to the bottom. No subtlety here. Oh, are we in Illinois? What is Illinois known for? Land of Lincoln! Then, right next to his shoulder, but they cut him in half. Ooh, very artsy. Thanks, Astrid, for that idea. Then, right next to Lincoln's shoulder, almost looks like it's coming out of his shoulder, is a silhouette that appears to be the Willis Tower. The idea of the Chicago skyscraper. So, okay, here we go. Get our boxes ready. What did we have on our whiteboard, Elizabeth? Well, we had Land of Lincoln, we had Chicago, we had rural, and we had Springfield. Okay, well, let's, Land of Lincoln, go to the clip art file somewhere online, find out, get a real obvious picture of Abe Lincoln. Okay, we have that one looks almost too nice. Get one that's real boring and plain. That's the one we like. Okay. And then these white silhouettes. So now that that blue fade comes lower this year, comes down to the middle of the plate, so they can create this white skyline of all of Illinois. So we checked our Land of Lincoln box. We've got our silhouette of that. And then next to that, we seem to have a barn.
Oh.
That is a barn. Because that's a rural.
Right. I get it.
X on rural. And then next to that, we have the state capital, Springfield.
Well, that's how that works.
You go all right.
Chicago, barn, state capital.
So, yeah. I mean, so in this one thing, we've got Land of Lincoln. We've got the Chicago. I mean, why didn't they put, I mean, I'm surprised that, you know, what's his name? Addison Clark. What's that bear for the Cubs?
Oh, yeah.
Clark, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why isn't Clark on here? I'm surprised Anthony Rizzo's, a silhouette of him swinging to hit a home run isn't on here. We got everything else.
That is surprising. Maybe they came up with this before the Cubs won the World
Series.
I'm sure
they did. Yeah. But, I mean, Mike, I'm surprised the Blackhawks had. I'm surprised that Blackhawks weren't able to get the Stanley Cup floating in there somewhere.
At least a hockey stick somewhere.
Although I have to say that if you want to think about it, if you look at our new plates, which you will see on people's cars, the state capitol looks like the Stanley Cup. So maybe the Blackhawks, maybe the Hawks are in there. But they have found a way to get every constituency and everything about Illinois and Chicago, or whatever you want to call it. And then, of course, underneath in ball, you know, and then now Illinois is not in this flowing script that maybe you'd have to think twice at looking at. Big capital black letters. Illinois at the top, and at the bottom, Land of Lincoln.
Oh, good.
We have to. So now, not only do we have to remind you with our picture of Lincoln, our artsy half picture of Lincoln, but if you don't know who that is, we will remind you again with bold capital letters, Land of Lincoln. So I have to say, that I'm going to get one of these in the mail, I'm sure. I'm going to put it on my car, but I have to be honest with you. I am not excited about, I mean, this really looks like a fifth grader designed it, because it has, it's so obvious. And here's the scariest part. According to this article, there was a poll. They showed the picture of the new thing, and they said to people here in Illinois, what do you think? Three-quarters of the people in Illinois said, fantastic!
Oh, my God, there's so much going on.
This is so cool! So, you know what? I'm sitting here with my snobby viewpoint on everything, and meanwhile, three-quarters of my fellow Illinoisans say thumbs up. In fact, we wish we could put more. Like I said, I'm sure that if they would have designed these now, they would have found a way to put, you know, a cub thing on there and whatever else. I'm really surprised that I'm not seeing a piece of corn.
Yeah, that's surprising.
I'm not seeing a deep dish pizza.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Or
there.
Even the big turkey leg.
You know the Magic Eye? Those little Magic Eye things.
Yeah, maybe it's there.
You need to do a Magic Eye for the license plate and have it all just burst in 3D.
Yeah, maybe that is there.
That'll be the next one.
There's a coating. If you look real,
squint.
Yeah, if you're at a stop sign or at a stoplight, like just look at when you get these new plates, just stare real close,
right,
and
it.
You will see, you know, the actual, you know, like Anthony Rizzo swinging and hitting a home run.
It's a 5-minute video in 3D. Yeah.
So as I said, I love license plates. I have my vanity plates. In fact, when you open up this, I took a picture of my Twin Peaks and my Cover Me, and it'll be on the attached to this podcast. But not happy with the new license plates in a time when we have so much at our fingertips to really do something cool and creative. And instead, we came up with, it looks like Sanford and Son. It's a junkyard of everything cool about Illinois. And I don't know if that's even in the picture here. I will still consider, as Blair Kamen rightfully says, Colorado really has a real cool one. It's very subtle. And it still gets you to know that it's Colorado without, having to overdo it. But once again, in Illinois and in Chicago, think about it. When you talk to a friend of yours and you talk about a restaurant, half the people don't talk about how good the food is. They talk about how good the portions were. We like big stuff and lots of it. We have that little music there. And welcome back to Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic here at WGN Plus. And now we're going to take a little trip to the... Oh, is Emily not there yet? Or she is there. There she is. Hey, Emily, are you there?
I'm always here for you, Jim.
There you go. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very good. I was just ranting about, you don't live in Chicago anymore. You live in, what are your license plates in Texas? What do yours look like?
I don't even know. I think it's white and it says Texas.
There's not even a big star? Like the Lone Star?
No, I mean...
Wow, see?
Yeah, I mean, maybe you could probably get fancy plates if you ordered
them. Wow, I'll tell you. Like I said, I noticed license plates because I have vanity plates. And that's what I was talking about here before, because Illinois is going to get new license plates, and they've just got a horrible new design. It's really bad. And
really?
So I was railing against that.
Well, I don't know. I don't even think my plates have, a slogan on them. But I will tell you that there are many garbage cans in Texas that they don't mess with Texas.
Oh, I don't know if you could put that, but I don't think you put that on a license plate.
Pun fully intended.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, don't mess with Texas.
I don't see a lot of,
Wow, you're not observant.
Well, no, I'm telling you, I really think my license plate is just very plain.
Wow, that's surprising.
I don't know. Maybe this is something I need to investigate.
Yeah, well, start. Yeah, just. Well, I mean, do you have a license plate? Are you like, since you are in Texas, are you one of those?
I do.
Those white trashers that go, we don't need no license plates around here.
I do have a license plate, but I will tell you what. Both my dad and my husband will be horrified to know that I do not even know my license plate number.
Do you have vanity plates?
No.
No.
But yeah, I don't know. Well, if I had vanity plates,
right.
I would know.
Yeah, you would be a little more aware, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
So anyway, what I wanted to talk about today in the Pop Culture Club was something very near and dear to your heart. New TV show that has been out a couple of weeks, and I bring this up because one of the things that I've learned to know about Emily, I've known her for several years, she's a huge Wizard of Oz fan.
Yes.
And so you are a huge fan of just the movie or the book or everything about it?
No, it's really more the film, the 1939
right.
film.
So now have you ever been to this?
My all-time favorite film.
No, oh, it is. Wow, it is your all-time favorite
yes.
film. Even
yes.
more than Willy Wonka.
Yeah. This is all-time favorite, okay?
Oh, I see.
You know
yeah.
that that's like another level of distinction.
Yeah. So have you ever seen the Ruby Slippers?
I have, yes.
At
when I lived in Washington, D.C.
At the
Smithsonian.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know if you ever were you ever at the MGM Grand, because you know before the MGM Grand used to be very Wizard of Oz oriented. They had a yellow brick road.
Now you're talking about in Vegas.
Yeah, in Vegas.
I think that I have been to the MGM Grand, but it was so long ago that
yeah.
I don't even remember what they had going on. But yeah, I have seen the Ruby Slippers. I think I stood in front of them for like way longer than really you should. I think the guards at the Smithsonian were kind of like getting suspicious. And then my mom was with me and she knows how much I love that film. And I made her take a photo of me with them from like every angle. It was actually kind of sad.
Oh, how funny. Well, I believe, man. So that, hey, that's like if I were to see a pair of Elton's cool glasses. That's
yeah,
what I would do, too.
Understand.
Oh, I totally understand.
Not everyone would understand where I'm coming from.
No, I completely understand. So what I wanted to get was your expert opinion, because on NBC every Friday now, at 9 o'clock at least Central Time, there is a reimagining and a reboot, like everything else in today's pop culture world. Everything's a reboot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Called Emerald City, and it is a very interesting and very different retelling of The Wizard of Oz, and it's almost like Mad Max.
Yeah, that's exactly what came to my mind was like Beyond Thunderdome.
Yeah, and so it takes place and Oz. I mean, it's very rough and gritty, and it you know it's not all fanciful with all the Tin Man, and I mean there are echoes of all the different characters, but they are much more set in a realistic kind of apocalyptic world. So for somebody that loves the movie and the look, and as you said, you were just kind of all happy and taking pictures of the Ruby Slippers, what do you think of the new Emerald City TV show?
I mean, I have to say, this totally missed the mark for me. I think we can all agree that, you know, The Wizard of Oz, the 1939 version, is iconic. And if you're going to try to reimagine or remake it, and people have done that over time, it really has to be flawless. And, you know, even when I think about some of the, you know, some of the retelling of the story that just didn't work over time, like, for example, The Wiz with Michael Jackson and Diana Ross, even that does not come close to being as disappointing to me as Emerald City.
What did you think about the one with James Franco? Remember The Wonderful Wizard? Did you see that?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that one was okay. It wasn't, I mean, it didn't knock my socks off, but it wasn't hugely disappointing either, you know, because I think it still had some of the elements that you look for. But, like, with Emerald City, I think, you know, first of all, I found it seriously so boring that I could barely get through the entire premiere episode, which was very long. It was like 2 hours long.
Yeah, it's a 2 hour. It's a 1 hour show, and I agree with you. I watched the first one and I watched the second, and I was saying, you know, I don't know if I want to get too invested in this. Am I watching this because I like it or because I think I should, because I want to see what they're going to do with it? But I'm not really into it.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. So, you know, I mean, the central conflict in the TV series is the same. You know, Dorothy gets kind of swept up in this tornado. She crashes down in Oz. She inadvertently kills the Wicked Witch of the East. And the plot takes off from there. And I have to say that, you know, even before she gets swept up in the tornado, they did not do a good enough job of really setting the story up or even doing anything to establish her character. So I feel like by the time she lands in Oz, you don't even really know enough about her to even care what happens.
No, that's a really good point. The only thing they do is that they let you know that she's an orphan.
That's it.
Yeah, and
she's
then
an orphan, and she's a nurse.
And then pretty soon that tornado comes.
Right.
I mean, it's like, wow. I mean, you know, I was expecting, you know, at least if you watch the first one, there's a good, and you know this more than anyone else, I mean, there's a good half hour to 45 minutes, at least, of Dorothy in Oz. I mean, or in Kansas.
Right. You see her, she's surrounded by her loved ones, you see her interact with the farmhands.
Right.
You know, who clearly adore her. She, you know, you see her with little Toto. You understand how much she loves him, and she sings her song. You also understand, you know, a little bit about how she's feeling. You know, she's sort of feeling a little bit lost in the shuffle, but, you know, and she's sort of feeling like maybe there's a better place out there. But, yeah, and so you are emotionally invested in Judy Garland's Dorothy by the time she lands in Oz. And I would say with Emerald City, it's completely missing that element. So
the tagline,
it's like, where do we even go from here?
The tagline for the show, Emerald City, say goodbye to Kansas.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's what you do. They say they say goodbye to Kansas in 5 minutes. And what seems to me, I mean, on paper, it's an interesting idea. We're going to let's take this beloved classic and try to update it and give it some grit and give it some, you know, kind of, as I said, this kind of Mad Max out in the open, out in the desert. And even Oz is not the magical city that, you know, that you would think. And the Wizard is really, I mean, you know, Vincent D'Onofrio plays the Wizard. And, I mean, I don't even like him.
Right. Well, and that's my other axe to grind with this. It's like, you know, in the film, there's one person, you know, so she kills the Wicked Witch of the East. Then the witch's sister, the Wicked Witch of the West, shows up, and she is hopping mad. Okay?
And Glenda, yeah, but Glenda is not the good witch.
Right, but in Emerald City, like, everywhere Dorothy goes, everybody is really angry. I mean, she gets essentially waterboarded by the series version of the Munchkins. I'm like, could this possibly be the darkest, like, that you could...
Well, the Munchkins are these little... And the Munchkins are these kind of scary, kind of, like, mini barbarians. Like, they're almost like Ewoks.
But
they're not cute.
And it's impossible to invest in any of these people because they all seem really dark and really angry. And as you mentioned, even Glinda is very dark.
Yeah, I mean, Glinda, the good witch, is not that good. She's angry and she's vindictive. And then one of the witch sisters owns a brothel.
Right.
So you guys are saying that we're never going to get a moment in the show. Well, you guys are saying we're never going to get a moment in the show where they just kind of do this.
Yeah, it's sad, believe me, Missy, when you're born to be a sissy.
Oh, yeah.
Without the feminine.
No, I mean, you should. All I know is when the Scarecrow, when she discovers the Scarecrow, he looks like Jesus.
Right.
Well, he's on this cross. He's on a cross. He's got his. He's all dirty. I'm like, that is not Ray Bolger.
No.
Oh.
No, and I need Glinda floating in a pink bubble.
Oh, okay? I know. Yeah.
That is what I need.
Oh, I mean, and even, I mean, I don't know if you saw the second episode. The second episode, the Scarecrow, like, totally beats up on this, kills a woman. Or so, yeah, or so we think. Meanwhile, and then the best part is the yellow brick road is this yellow path filled with poppies, with yellow poppies. It's not even it's not even brick.
No.
Yeah, I don't. I'll tell you.
And if you're okay, and if we're gonna bring that up, then I'm gonna have to bring up my biggest complaint. Okay. Number one complaint with the show, where are the shoes?
No kidding. We still haven't seen the shoes.
No.
No, because if you, in fact, I don't even know if you haven't seen episode two yet. So
obviously not. I could barely make it through the first episode.
Because what happens is the Wicked Witch of the East, she has some emerald gloves.
Mm.
And those become
thumbs
the
down.
Magic. So they are not even.
Thumbs down.
Yeah. And
down.
The only thing that is cool for me in this whole thing, and like I said, and then the Tin Man, who is my favorite character. I love the Tin Man. Hello, Dorothy. I love that the Tin Man has like a New Jersey accent. I love that.
Right.
Hello, Dorothy.
That's the thing, and everyone in the show, it's all over the map. It's just.
Oh, yeah, no, it is. And like I said, the wizard is not a good guy really at all. It's very dark. It, like I said, it's very Mad Max-ish like.
But as you said, on paper, it sort of makes sense. I mean, Batman went super gritty and people loved it. All these things go this gritty.
I know, but I think this, I wouldn't mind if, but even like, say, The Dark Knight, which you're referencing, there was still, like Emily's problem with it is, there was still the essence of the story and the essence of the characters were there. They may have been darker, but they were still there. There's no essence of this. I mean, like I said, the Scarecrow, you sort of think that he needs a brain because he has sort of amnesia, I think, right? Is that what they're going for? Did you get that?
I guess.
I mean, it's really. So, but here's the only thing that was cool for me is because I have been to Barcelona a couple times, and they clearly filmed this in Barcelona because they use a lot of the for Oz is a lot of gaudy architecture.
Yes.
And so and at the park there's a park in Barcelona which this architect Gaudi, who is known for the Sagrada Familia, this church that has taken over 100 years and they're still building it. And there's Gaudi was a very ahead of his time architect. And so there's some really cool architecture because I go, oh, there's the park. I walk down those stairs.
Right.
But aside from that, I got to say.
I that caught my eye, too, and I actually almost looked it up to be sure because I was like, did they like try to recreate that or did they actually film
it? No, it looks like they had to have filmed at least some parts there.
Yeah, I would think that would be really costly to try to recreate that. But yeah, I see what you mean. Well, look, I do think, and to that end, it is visually stunning in places, but not in the same way that, you know, the original.
I mean, I watched the first one, and I watched the second, and I'm debating whether to watch three, because what happens to me, I don't know about you, but I get so invested in shows that there's some shows that I don't even like very much, but then I have to see how they end because I watched half of them.
Do you guys want to hear the title and description of the third episode of the show?
Yeah, go ahead.
The title is Mistress, New Mistress. Uh-oh. And then the description, Dorothy visits the Castle of East and pretends she is a new mistress, but she must control the weather to prove this.
Okay, now I don't remember that. I don't remember that in The Wizard of Oz.
Jack and Tip travel to EV. What EV?
There were no mistresses.
Hoping to return Tip to normal, Dorothy discovers evidence her biological mother was in Oz, and she and Lucas resume the journey to the wizard.
Yeah, see, Lucas, the Scarecrow has a name. His name is Lucas.
I mean, that sounds like great television right there.
No,
that's a good episode.
No, I'll tell you. I mean, I was shocked. Like I said, I knew that they were going to take some creative liberties, and that's what you want, obviously. But I'm glad you said that because I've been watching this and I'm saying, you know, am I just being too hard on this? But I'm glad to hear that someone like you, Emily, who knows and loves this movie and this story, you know, is also having problems with it because I'm just watching this. I'm going, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting the intrigue. And I'm just not, to your point, I'm not getting enough of the nostalgia of the first movie. And I know it's not going to, you know.
Well, no, it's not. But this just feels like they were like, okay, we're going to update this. And they almost did a paint by numbers, but making it as dark as they possibly could.
And for the sake...
I don't think it's clever in any way.
No, and it seems like they're doing this for the sake of doing it. Like, for instance, to your point, which is a great point, Toto isn't even with Dorothy in Kansas.
Right.
Toto
is just the police canine.
Yeah, he's like a German shepherd, and apparently the word Toto in the language of the Munchkins means dog.
Vicious? Is he like grizzled?
Yeah, he is vicious. He's okay. This dog, you can't put this dog in a little basket.
And you know what, Jim? I
would run away from that dog.
You're right. You're asking the question, are we being too hard on it? And I'm actually thinking, no, we're really not. And I say that because, yeah, as someone who is very invested in the original, okay, this was like a massive part of my childhood. I mean, every Easter when it aired, I was parked in front of that TV. My cousins could have all been outside doing the Easter egg hunt, and I was like, sorry.
Right.
Wizard of Oz is on. I'm not going anywhere. So I was totally enthralled with that. And so, yes, I have a high bar set. But, you know, when Gregory Maguire's novel Wicked came out, which kind of imagines the prequel
right.
to the classic Oz stories, I loved it. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was clever. I loved everything about it. And that, of course, was then adapted into what became a very successful
right.
Hit Broadway musical. So, you know, it is possible to do things like this and to do them well and to do them right in a way that, like, you know, super serious fans still appreciate.
Well, here's what I think is going on, to be honest with you. I think the genesis of this entire, and the interesting part of this is, I believe, Sean Cassidy is the producer. Did you know that?
No.
Sean Cassidy.
Sean Cassidy?
The Sean Cassidy. The Do Ron Ron and Hey Deanie.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. But but here's the thing. I believe that the genesis of this came about because on ABC for the last two or three years, and I stopped watching because it got too ridiculous, there is a show called Once Upon a Time. Which uses a lot of the Grimm's fairy tales, and now because it's on ABC, which owns Disney, or vice versa, all these Disney characters, all these princesses, and all these people inhabit, you know, Storyville or whatever, Storybrooke, whatever it was the town is, and so you've got Rumpelstiltskin, and you've got all these characters, and that show has been pretty popular, even though, like I said, it's gone for me, it went off the rails. So I'm wondering if NBC said, hey, we need a Once Upon a Time. And so someone says, well, why don't we just reimagine? Because what they basically did on this Once Upon a Time show, which is still on Sundays, is they've sort of modernized all the Grimm fairy tales and all these other kind of fairy tale characters into a more of a modern day look and a modern day perspective. But I think that with this, they went so far off the beaten path that, I mean, this doesn't have to even be called Emerald City. You know, it doesn't have to have, aside from Oz and stuff and Dorothy, I mean, this to me could be any kind of show. It doesn't have to be Wizard of Oz.
It could be Dorothy Beyond Thunderdome. That's what they should call it.
That's a great name.
That actually is a pretty cool.
I want to see that show.
I like or Dastardly Dorothy in the Thunderdome.
Maybe if they change the name, it will just change expectations a little and people will like it more. I don't know.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to Kansas. Say hello to the Thunderdome.
Say goodbye to Kansas. Right.
Yes.
Oh, well, I'll tell you. Like I said, I'm glad to hear you say that because I have been on the fence on this. And I've been I really don't want to keep watching this. And I have. And now I think hearing you that such a Wizard of Oz fan that you barely got through the, at least I got through the second episode.
Right.
You didn't even do that. So I'm going to probably, right. I will DVR number three, but I may just hit the fast forward it because if it's getting goofy.
Right. I say you need to cut bait.
Well, here, I mean, based on what Craig just said.
Bait. There's too much good TV out there.
Well, and based on what Craig just said, we don't even see the lion yet. Where's the lion?
Oh, it's going to be intense, the lion.
Well, the lion's probably going to be, they're going to have 17 other side stories. The lion probably won't even be on until like episode 12.
Well, maybe that's how they think they're going to keep you watching. They're just dangling that carrot.
And
okay,
I can't,
at some point, there has to be a lion.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what they can do with the flying monkeys. And we haven't even seen the Wicked Witch yet. I mean, right now, in my view, the Wicked Witch is Glenda.
Well, that seems so, but I thought that they were sort of suggesting that it was the brothel.
Oh, so you think the brothel.
I don't know. I thought that that's how they were setting it up. But
yeah, right, but I don't know anymore. Because I hate to have a spoiler
and she's
alert.
So out of it, she's so out of it that what you know, like she doesn't. What is she gonna do? Like it's just.
Well, since you're not gonna watch anymore, I'll give you a spoiler alert. So the Wicked Witch of the East doesn't die.
Oh really?
And guess what happens? Dorothy tells the Wicked Witch of the East finds Dorothy's gun.
Oh, no, I saw that part.
Oh,
I
you did? Okay, and then she tells her, pull the trigger. So the Wicked Witch doesn't know what a gun is or doesn't know how it works, and Dorothy says, turn it towards your head.
Dorothy got her to shoot herself.
And then pull the trigger, and she blows a hole in her head.
Dorothy finished the job.
Yeah.
I mean, Judy Garland's Dorothy was practically apologizing on her hands and knees.
Right.
For killing the witch. And even then, after she's been tormented by the Wicked Witch of the West, she knows she's got to throw the water on her and melt her. Once again, she's like practically on her hands and knees begging for forgiveness for having to do that.
Well, and not even that, but you know the thing is, we're joking about the Munchkins and how they're these little barbarians. They're like dressed like Eskimos, like little baby Eskimos. And the thing about it was, if you remember, this is where right at the beginning I said I'm not getting this because the Munchkins were happy that that she killed the Wicked Witch of the East. These Munchkins kicked Dorothy out of their camp. They were mad at her. And there was not even one mayor who had a cute little curly Q on his forehead.
Right.
I want to see when I see a Munchkin.
Nobody dancing with Wally. Okay.
When I see a Munchkin, I want to see at least one guy with a three-piece suit, some white socks, and a curly Q on his forehead.
Yeah, maybe
that's
a monocle,
Munchkin.
You know.
Yeah, nice. A nice monocle, maybe a walking stick. These guys had spears. I was afraid of the Munchkins. And then the best part was, I don't know if you caught this, as one of I think the Wicked Witch said or someone said Munchkins. Did you notice
that?
They didn't even say yeah, go back if you haven't. I don't think they called them Munchkins. Not even Munchkins.
That's just weird.
Well, thank you. You know what? I was on the fence, but after talking to you, Emily, I am so over the fence. I'm out of the park.
Good.
I'm a home run.
You should be.
Wow. Well, you know what? I said at the beginning of the show we're going to talk about Twin Peaks, but we can't talk about Twin Peaks. We have no more time. And I want to make sure we talk about Twin Peaks in a normal. So why don't we do that next week?
Oh, yeah. That deserves – you have to spend – you need to have some good time.
Yeah, definitely. So, in fact,
is very highly anticipated.
In fact, I'm going to come to you early next week so we have some real good time to talk about Twin Peaks. But I figured if anybody can talk about The Wizard of Oz with some insight and some knowledge and some fun, it's Emily Amornetti because it is your favorite movie. And so how many yellow bricks do you give Emerald City?
Oh, please. I mean, is it possible to give it zero?
zero golden.
If zero's not an option, then I go half a brick.
Zero golden bricks from Emily.
Half a brick. If zero is not an option, I'm not sure what the rules are for your review scales. But, yeah.
Oh, man.
It's not good.
All right. Well, you've opened up my Friday viewing for another show at 9 o'clock. Thank you so much, Emily Armonetti, for another fun episode and segment of the Pop Culture Club. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. Take care. I'm Jim Toronto, and this is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode posted. So thank you for listening. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. Hope you'll come back every Monday and give a click to WGNplus.com. Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic from the end of the web to your screen.